This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we reached the next chapter, which is the seventh chapter of the Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya by Imam Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi. This next chapter is about the chapter on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using kuhl or surma, al-kuhl, in the eyes. Essentially, this chapter has been brought after the chapter on dyeing the hair, because this is also about a kind of an adornment of a part of the body. Just like dyeing for the hair, this is for the eyes. So what this will tell us about, this chapter will discuss, is what kind of kuhl did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam use, and how many times did he use it, what's the procedure for using it, and what did he say were the virtues of using it. So to start with, kuhl is a powder. It essentially comes in powder form. It's probably a stone originally, which is ground to a powder form. It's very fine. And that's why, because of its fineness of the grain, they actually strike an example that you have a bottle, a small vial of this kuhl, and you have a small something that you apply it with, an applicator as such, which is normally a very small, thin, smooth piece of a stick or made of plastic or something else. And it has to be very smooth because you're putting it in your eye. So what happens is you dip it into the surma, into this kuhl, and it's very fine, so it goes through very easily. And then whatever's on there, you normally put it at the bottom of the eyes, just above the skin at the bottom, into the eye, into the whiteness of the eye. And then you just kind of slide it to the right or left, depending on the eye. And whatever stays there, stays there. And the Prophet ﷺ used to do it thrice. Which means you don't have to have it wet. If you had this little applicator, if it was wet and moist, then obviously it would attract a lot. But it's very fine. It's very fine, so you can't get much on it. If it was not as fine, if it was coarse, then you'd get a lot more on there. So the whole fact that Prophet ﷺ would apply it three times in each eye gives us an indication that this was very refined, as it normally is, and you're able to get it down to that refined level. So let's read the chapter first. Let's read the narrations for the transmission. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. باب ما جاء في كحل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن حميد الرازي قال حدثنا أبو داود الطيالسي عن عباد بن منصور عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اكتحلوا بالإثمد فإنه يجلو البصر وينبت الشعر وزعم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت له مكحلة يكتحل منها كل ليلة ثلاثة في هذه وثلاثة في هذه وبه قال حدثنا عبد الله بن الصباح الهاشمي البصري قال حدثنا عبيد الله بن موسى قال حدثنا إسرائيل عن عباد بن منصور حا وحدثنا علي بن حجر قال حدثنا يزيد بن هارون قال حدثنا عباد بن منصور عن كلمة عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكتحل قبل أن ينام بالإثمد ثلاثا في كل عين وقال يزيد بن هارون في حديثه إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت له مكحلة يكتحل منها عند النوم ثلاثا في كل عين وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن منيع قال حدثنا محمد بن يزيد عن محمد بن إسحاق عن محمد بن المنكدر عن جابر هو ابن عبد الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بالإثمد عند النوم فإنه يجل البصر وينبت الشعر وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا بشر بن المفضل عن عبد الله بن عثمان بن خثيم عن سعيد بن جبير عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن خير أكحالكم الإثمد يجلو البصر وينبت الشعر. وبه قال حدثنا إبراهيم بن المستمر البصري قال حدثنا أبو عاصم عن عثمان بن عبد الملك عن سالم عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بالإثمد فإنه يجلو البصر وينبت الشعر. Many of the ahadith are very similar to each other. There are five narrations in this chapter. This is a relatively short chapter. The first hadith is from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. In it, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Iktahilu bil ithmid." Iktahil, iktahada means to apply this substance to the eyes. You can, let's call it surma or kuhl. Kuhl. Apply it to the eyes. I don't want to call it antimony. And the reason I don't want to call it antimony because antimony is a particular type of substance which some people consider to be poisonous or something of that nature. So that's why I don't want to use that term. But that is a normal term that's used as well. So, iktahilu, use kuhl, apply it to your eyes. Which one? Ithmud, ithmid, ithmud. There's various ways of reading this. This is a particular type which is not available in the West. It's not black. It's actually kind of dark red. It's kind of dark red, I don't know if you can see this. Maybe if I took off the wrapper you'd be able to see it. Right, it's kind of a dark red, dark pink kind of color. Right, the famous, the more popular ones you see, they're all dark black. Right, which people say it's made of lead or something. You have to be careful which one you buy. You want to buy the good ones because it's something you're putting in your eyes. So, as with everything else, I'm sure there is some mixture taking place in some of them. So you have to be careful. This one was from Medina Munawwara, which again doesn't prove anything because, you know, they can't regulate everything that comes into Medina Munawwara. So I'm not sure where exactly this is made. But the thing about ithmid, the particular one ithmid, which is of this kind of reddish, pinkish color, dark pinkish, reddish kind of color, it's that it's found in that area of Hijaz, of that western border of Arabia. I'm not sure if it's found anywhere else, but that's the one. According to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, use that one. And then he'll explain afterwards. In fact, in all of these ahadith, that's what's mentioned. That doesn't mean that you can't use anything else. Anything else that's found to be suitable, equivalent, something like it, then you could use that, and inshallah, you'll be able to get the at least the one sunnah of applying this kuhl in your eyes. But if you use ithmud as well, then you get a double reward because you're using the one preferred by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, encouraged by him, recommended by him. So he said, "Iktahilu bil ithmid, fa innahu yajlu al basar, because it will brighten your eyes." Brighten your eyes. Jala means light. And when you speak about light in the eyes, it's not about what others see. That, hey, that person's eye is bright. Brightness of the eyes means your sight. So it's supposed to be good for the eyesight. And then number two, it does something else. وَيُمْبِتُ الشَّعْرِ. It also causes the hair to grow. That's said in general. What the ulama have normally understood there is speaking about the eyelashes, that it causes the eyelashes to grow. I think bushy eyelashes or profound eyelashes are supposed to be a good thing, I think, in terms of beauty. And women would know that. Yes, it is. Of course it is. You can buy fake eyelashes. When I looked at the men first, and you're like, we don't know, right? And then I just remembered that, yes, women know these kind of things. Because they go out and buy eyelashes just like they buy nails, right, to put on. So use surma for the women as well. Use surma if you want, you know, long eyelashes. And then the hadith continues. The narrator continues and says, the narrator is saying, and he reckons that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the highest narrator there, also said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have a mukhala. A mukhala is essentially the thing in which you're going, the vessel in which, the veil in which the kuhl is contained. يَقْتَحِلُ مِنْهَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ. He would do it at night. So now we understand that it's done at night. So it's ithmud you should try to use. It's got these benefits. And the Prophet ﷺ used to apply it at night. Three times in this eye and three times in that eye. What I understand from the three times is that you don't get much each time. If you try it, you don't get much each time because it's so fine. So three times, then you get a sufficient amount. The other thing is that it says about Rasulullah's eyes that they seem to be naturally kuhl applied as such. The dark one. They seem to be naturally lined in that sense. And the thing about the red one is that it doesn't make it dark. And it's not bright red. It's not bright red to make your eyes look red, you know. It's kind of this pink. I don't think you can even see it really when it's applied. You can't really see it. Has anybody used this? Can you? You can't really see it, can you? Oh, you can in yours. Okay, so it depends on the skin complexion, right? Is yours the same color though? Okay, khalas. So this is original, inshallah. The reason you use it at night is because in the daytime there's more of a movement of the eye, a flickering of the eyelids and so on. So it's much more easily, it gets washed away, drained away, rinsed away through the natural tear-causing sensations of the eyes. But at nighttime it stays in there for longer in one place. So it's there for barakah. It's there for the benefit of it. It's not there for makeup reasons. So do not understand this, that this was a makeup as such. This is done for the benefit of it. The next hadith is very similar, which is related from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu as well, through a student of his called Ikrimah, famous student of his. It says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to apply the kuhl before he used to sleep using ithmud three times in each eye. Yazid ibn Harun, who's a later narrator, he says in his version that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says the same thing, that he used to have a veil of surma, a veil of kuhl, and he used to use it when sleeping, three times in each eye. So now we understand it wasn't just at night, any time at night, it was before going to sleep. That was the purpose of it. So yeah, Allama Turpushti, he says that this particular one, it's a naturally occurring stone, where it comes from. And some have said that this actually comes, originally used to come from Isfahan. Isfahan is in Persia, it's in Iran today. So this is the specific Isfahani one. The benefit of this Isfahani one, the one the Prophet ﷺ used to like. Right? There's a difference of opinion as to exactly which one he's referring to, but some have said that when you say ithmid, it refers to the Isfahani one, which the benefit of it is that it causes the tears to flow. And thus, it cleans out your eyes. That's the benefit of it sometimes. I have a natural reflex system that if something gets in there, it causes them to flow. But in this, it probably gets mixed up in there and then it benefits in that sense. So, according to Allama Turpushti, he says it protects the eyes. It gives, it's supposed to strengthen the muscles of the eyes as well. And you can apply it to children, for older people as well. You can apply it to children as well. In another version, it says, with a specific type of ithmid in which pure musk was mixed. So particles of musk was mixed into it. That would be getting expensive. I don't know if that's available nowadays. I don't know. I've never seen that available, but never looked for it either. Now, you'd have to be careful. This is supposed to be used on healthy eyes. Just because the Prophet ﷺ used it, it doesn't mean that if you've got a problem in your eyes, so you've got hurting eyes because of some reason, don't apply it then, because it will only aggravate it. In that case, you need to let it get better. So this is for kind of a normal, ongoing benefit. It's not to get rid of a particular problem. Because you don't want to insert foreign objects into your eye when you have a problem with it. It will only aggravate it more. For example, honey is considered sunnah. It's mentioned in the Quran that there's shifa in there. But if somebody is eating a pot of honey every day, then what's going to happen? So it's about doing it in moderation. When it says shifa, there has to be a certain amount that there's shifa in that's intended. So we have to understand it that way as well. Now the fact is that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is using it, and there's a certain dunyawi benefit to it that he's explaining, that it's going to brighten your eyes in the sense that your sight will become better, and it will increase your eyelashes and so on, your hair. So is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using this as a worldly medicinal purpose, health reasons, or is there a spiritual reason as well? Do you get reward for doing it? So the response to that is yes, there must be an ukhrawi benefit, which means there's a benefit in terms of the hereafter, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually encouraging it. It's not that he used it and then somebody just said, "Oh, I saw him using it." Right? I saw him using it. But he's actually encouraging number of ahadith, use it because it does this for you. So yes, it's for a worldly benefit, but by doing it for the sake of the sunnah as well, along with your intention for a worldly benefit, inshallah, you'll be rewarded in it as well. Especially since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seemed to have done this all the time. He was regular on using surma. How many of us have used surma here? Any type? How many use it regularly? Just one person. Subhanallah. Okay, well maybe the whole point of reading this book is that inshallah Allah give me the tawfiq that I can actually, I have opened this bottle once, but I need to start remembering to open it a bit more often. Okay, another point here is, the fact is that this is originally dust from the ground. It's from stone, right? Normally, you're not allowed to eat anything that's harmful. You're not allowed to eat, which is, for example, if you start wanting to eat dirt, dust of the ground, or you know, sand or something like that, it's not a good thing to do that, because it's for a health reason. It's bad for your stomach. Otherwise, mashallah, that's abundant. People would eat it. But the reason why you can't do that is you just can't, because it's harmful for you. Unless there's a specific one that in small amounts they found some medicinal purpose or something, that's a different story. Now, what should your intention be when using surma? Should you use it for makeup purposes? That I want to look good, because people do look, they attract, the eyes seem more attractive when you put this kuhl on. So what should your intention be, even when following this? Intention should be that I want to do it for the sake of its medicinal benefits, not for the sake of adornment. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to do it at night, not in the daytime. So I just want to clarify that. So if somebody's putting this heavy surma on before they go on stage, and then they're saying, well, it's sunnah, that's why, the sunnah is at night. The next hadith is related from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He's another Sahabi that used to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a poor Sahabi, but he used to have a very kind of informal relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alaykum bil ithmid 'inda an-nawm." It's alaykum. Alaykum is like it's obligatory for you to use it, but nobody has said it's wajib. This is just an encouragement, like a strong encouragement. You should use. Like, you know, you should use it. It's good for you. That kind of a statement. You should use ithmid when sleeping, at the time of sleeping, because it brightens the sight and it causes the hair to grow. There's another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever uses kuhl, he should do it in an odd number. He should apply it in an odd number. So one is, you could do one, but one is, most of the time, one is very less. You hardly get anything in. So the next one is three. Five may be too much. Imam Abu Dawud relates that hadith. And in general, even in any kind of medicine or whatever, there's a general encouragement, both in medicine and other things, that you use an odd number of times. Now, how do you do it? Do you do three times in one eye first and then three times in the next? There's difference of opinion about how exactly the Prophet ﷺ used to apply it. So, from many of the narrations, you see that it was three times here and then three times in the left eye. But others say that no, he used to use it two times in the right eye first, three times in the left, and then come back and the last one end with the right again. So either of those ways will be permissible and it's possible. It's also mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ used to use three in the right and two in the left. That's also another version that's mentioned as well. Right, the next narration is from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu as well. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna khayra akhalikum al-ithmid." The best of the kuhls that you use is ithmid. What that, analyzing that tells us, that there were different types of ithmid or the different types of kuhl that were being used in Medina Munawwara at the time. He said, but the best one is the ithmid. So this proves that it's not impermissible to use another one. It's just this is the best one. يَجْلُ الْبَصَرْ وَيُنْبِتُ الشَّعْرِ. Across the board, Prophet ﷺ is mentioning the benefits about the hair and the sight. And the next narration is from Salim, from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْإِثْمِدْ فَإِنَّهُ يَجْلُ الْبَصَرْ وَيُنْبِتُ الشَّعْرِ. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the last part, well, this one, and an earlier narration is the same. The narration from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu an and Abdullah ibn Umar, it says the same thing. You should use it. And you should use ithmid because it has this benefit for the eyes. It brightens the sight and it causes the hair to grow. Now the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to use it at night. He's a man, he's male, so that's why for him he was just medicinal purposes. But for women, they could use it in the daytime as well. Because if they want to use surma and kuhl for adornment purposes. However, when we're talking about adornment purposes, this is not something that you can put on extra surma for women and go out and say, because it's sunnah, it's valid for me to do this. So it can't be used as a makeup in front of non-mahrams, just because it's a sunnah. It won't be considered illa ma dhahara minha. Because the real recommendation for surma is at night. But because women and adornment go together normally, for the people that is permissible for them to be adorned for, among other women, their husband and so on, then absolutely they could use that in the daytime if it's among them. If they want to go outside, they should avoid it. Unless they get the light one, which doesn't show. That obviously tells us that going beyond that, using heavy eyeliner or eye makeup or whatever would not be, even if you have a niqab on, unless it's covering your eyes, then it would be fine. اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك ذات الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزا الله عنا محمد ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا محمد ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا محمد ما هو أهله اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا وامح عيوبنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اشفنا اللهم اشف مرضانا اللهم اشفنا اللهم اشف مرضانا اللهم قوي في رضاك ضعفنا اللهم قوي في رضاك ضعفنا اللهم قوي في رضاك ضعفنا اللهم ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم انصر إخواننا في سبيلك اللهم احفظ المسلمين في كل أنحاء العالم اللهم انصرهم على عدوهم اللهم انصرهم على عدوهم اللهم انصرهم على عدوهم اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا لا إله إلا الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.